everyone, how are you doing? If you're new here, I'm Dr. Sheen, an Oxford and Cambridge graduate, a tech entrepreneur and business coach. And welcome back to Dream Girl. And today we're joined by Lara Tabbitt. So Lara is an entrepreneur, she's been a TV person, she's a public figure, everything. I will let her introduce herself in a bit. So welcome, Lara. How are you?
It's such a pleasure to be with you on the show today. Sheen, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing really, really well.
Oh, you look great, by the way.
Thank you.
I love the purple.
Do you. Thank you. I'm loving the lime green.
So Lara and I met very recently, actually. So we met at a book launch.
That's
and since
right.
then we've just hit it off and we've talked about doing so many things together.
Oh, yeah.
But Lara, tell us, where did the whole career begin?
The career began many, many years ago. I actually used to go with my dad to the office at the age of 8, but that's not where the career started. The career started when I graduated from Switzerland with my hotel management degree, came back to Dubai to work in the family business. My father's got a group of hotels here in Dubai, as well as in the UK, as well as in Lebanon. So I worked with the family business for over, I think it was 17 years, until I got headhunted by the first English language TV station that was opening up in Dubai, known as InTV, which later on became known as City 7 TV. I had 9 shows of my own that I was producing and presenting, conducted over 7,000 interviews with celebrities from all around the world, including people like Donald Trump, Donald Trump Jr., Ivanka Trump, the ruler of Dubai, the King of Bahrain, prime ministers, high net worth individuals, and of course, Arab cinema, Bollywood, and Hollywood, which I was covering for the last 14 years. Unfortunately, now the film festival has been put on hold. And then I got into the world of luxury brands when I was taking a break from my career in television. I was approached by a few luxury brands from different parts of Europe, mainly Switzerland and south of France. They were looking for a brand ambassador, someone to be the face of the brand and to do business development for them, promote them here in the region and help them to achieve their targets and goals and get them to locations they wouldn't be able to do otherwise. So that's how I became known as the brand ambassador for all these luxury brands. And that's how I came up with my own brand, Luxury with Lara. And then I started getting approached by different charity organizations, not only from the region, but from all around the world. And today I do quite a bit of charity in different parts of the world. And I'm also a member of the UNHCR, which is a division of the United Nations. And whatever events we host, we raise funds and we help the refugees around the world. So.
Wow. Okay. So many different pivots happened at different points, which I love, because so that's one other thing that we discuss a lot on this podcast is when, you know, we always pivot and it's no longer the case where you start somewhere and that's where you will retire. Right.
Sure.
And so for you, how do you approach all of these pivot points whenever, for example, you moved from the family business, you got headhunted? How did you make that decision that this is the right thing for you now?
Well, I'll be very honest with you. It was my husband that was pushing me to get into television. I had no clue about television. I had never studied communications, was never involved in the world of media. So my husband was like, you know what? I see you would be the perfect fit in front of that camera and talking, because that's what you do. You're amazing at delivering messages. And I think you'd really enjoy it, being born and brought up in Dubai, knowing Dubai so well, creating local content and promoting Dubai to the world. That's what you've been doing since I was a child. Mm. So when we were in the hospitality industry and with my father's hotels, there were events like the Arabian Travel Market, the World Travel Market in Berlin, and other big hotel events where we had to travel as Dubai with Dubai Tourism Board to promote Dubai to the region. So I had been doing that since I was a young child. So he's like, this would be perfect
for you. It's nothing new.
Exactly. Brand ambassador for Dubai, but yeah. On television now.
Perfect.
Exactly. So I said, okay. I went down for the casting. And to be very honest with you, I really felt at home. I felt very comfortable in that space. And that's how it all started.
Do you still remember the first time you were in front of the camera officially? How was it?
Oh, God, it was a very, very embarrassing experience. Very, very embarrassing. So I had to write the questions down on paper. My first interview was with a very, very important gentleman from Dubai, and I had 12 hours notice. Oof. So immediately I had to do my research on him, prepare the questions well in advance, and I was put there the next morning, and Lara, you'll have to interview this gentleman. So I had the piece of paper right under my lap, under my thigh. And every time I would look at him and ask a question, I would have to look back at the paper, because how can you memorize 12 questions?
Yeah, you can't.
I didn't have enough time. So I had to keep going back to my paper to ask him each and every question. So that was my first experience in front of the camera. I was trembling. I could feel my heart beating.
Mm.
But then I think 2 weeks later, I overcame that. And then, like I said, I was very comfortable. And then I never needed to do any preparations well in advance, of course, except the research about the individual that you're interviewing.
Mm. So you said 2 weeks later you overcame that. That's quite fast.
It is quite fast.
Yeah.
I was surprised with myself, but I had an amazing crew. I had an amazing team. I mean, in TV at that time, we had... I don't know how many, they had recruited the best of the best from Bollywood to work at the station. So it was very easy. They made our life very easy. We were 9 TV presenters from Dubai, all from different countries, but each one of them was selected. Like we were
handpicked. Yeah,
handpicked, exactly. Yes. That's the word. We were handpicked. And they took really, really good care of us. And they really made our life and our work really easy. So thanks to them, we had a professional team that we were working with.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, I love that story of yours. And then what's the most memorable time in front of the camera?
Most memorable time in front of the camera. Oh, I had quite a few. One was when we went down to the Dubai World Cup and I saw His Highness, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid. Mm-hmm. And he welcomed us with open arms. So that was a very memorable and beautiful experience, which I'll never forget. And then another one was interviewing Sharon Stone at one of the award ceremonies that took place here in Dubai quite a few years ago in Bab al-Shams. It was a very funny situation. So she came to the red carpet, and of course I carried the microphone. I was mm-hmm. like, Sharon, welcome to Dubai, and it's such a pleasure to have you here with us. And she suddenly burst into tears. So I thought I had
said, what did you do?
What did I do? And I looked at my colleagues. I looked at everybody around me. I'm like, did I say anything wrong? And they're like, no, Lara, relax, relax. And I felt really bad that she was crying. And then her two bodyguards were standing next to her. And I think she turned around and had a sip of a bottle of water that they had handed mm-hmm. over to her. And then she turned around and she was laughing again. So that was a very funny experience.
But she didn't address the tears.
No. Okay. I asked her, are you okay? She goes, yes. Can you just repeat the question again? And I was like, yes. Tell us a little bit more about your trip to Dubai, et cetera, et cetera. Another one was interviewing Donald Trump.
How was that?
That was interesting. Yeah. That was in 2005 during Cityscape. It was one of our first Cityscapes that we had here in Dubai. And he had come down with Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka. Mm-hmm. And I think it was for the launch of the Trump Tower that they were having on the trunk of the palm, which no longer exists because I think the project's changed from then till now. But it was for the launch of the Trump Tower. And it was a very, very interesting interview.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is he like in person?
He's really nice. He's a nice man.
Everyone says that, right?
He's very nice. He's very charming, very, very friendly with everyone. So is his son. His daughter is extremely intelligent, Ivanka Trump. Mm. Very, very intelligent and very beautiful and very soft-spoken.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I was very impressed with her.
So, what's your approach whenever you have to meet all of these like huge celebrities and like, you know, people who are very well known by everyone else? How do you prepare for that mentally more than anything?
Basically, you try and you look at them as whoever they may be, get your thoughts together and try and ask them a few questions where their answers would be worthwhile, meaningful to the audience that's watching. Mm-hmm. So if it's, for example, who should I say? Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if it's Jennifer Lopez, we'll ask her about her latest album, whatever mm-hmm. she's created. We'll ask her to share her voice with us on camera mm-hmm. so people can get a little taster of the latest album and her creations. And of course, what her future plans are, because everybody wants to know what these top celebrities are up to next. What's in the pipeline? What are their future plans? So basically a little bit of information that can be delivered to the audience that's watching mm-hmm. To know about what these people are involved in and what their latest projects are. Because that's what everybody, I think, wants to know at the end of the day.
But I mean, in terms of, you know, you're clearly not intimidated or you won't have any confidence issues in front of them. How did you become that person?
How did I become that person? So like I said, it goes back to my hospitality days. So working in the hospitality industry, no 2 days are the same. It's a people's industry. So you're dealing and interacting with different people from different walks of life on a daily basis. Television is no different. They're very, very similar industries because they're both people's industries. So you're dealing with different people every single day. And I think that builds your confidence because you're dealing with different people from different walks of life, prime ministers, presidents, rulers, CEOs, managers, executive housekeepers, waiters, waitresses. You're dealing with different people. Mm. So I think that that builds the confidence over time. And I've been in that. I was in the hospitality industry since I was the age of 16, 15 and a half, actually. So, yeah.
Wow. So it doesn't make you
question anything
anymore.
No, yeah. Not at all. On the contrary, if I see celebrities, let's say when I'm traveling in yes. London, Paris, New York, I'll stop them in the middle of the road and we'll have a chat and I'll take a photo with them and it'll be like any ordinary person.
Yeah.
They are celebrities, of course, at the end of the day. But I've never had an issue with approaching them or, you know, felt intimidating.
Fangirling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But have you ever had a fangirl moment with anyone?
Oh, gosh. I would definitely have to say Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
When she came to Dubai for her concert. Yeah.
How was she?
She's incredible. She's amazing. She's not only my role model, but I think she's the most incredible woman out there. I mean, her achievements, what she's been through, her journey, the obstacles that she had to face along the way, the heartbreaks that she had to face, but she still stood up, got back on her feet and kept achieving. And she's still achieving every single day.
Is.
And she has a beautiful, bright future still ahead of her. And she's an incredible woman.
She is.
Yeah.
And she looks fabulous.
She does look
even
fabulous.
Even at this age.
She does. She does.
It's she's never aged.
Exactly. And she, you know, the healthy lifestyle that she leads, the healthy regimes. And she's just opening one project after another. I think she recently launched her skincare.
She
and
did.
Now she's got other things in the pipeline. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know that you also have a very exciting project coming up soon. And I would love to talk to you about the experience of that, which is your show coming up on Netflix soon, right?
That's right.
So when is it coming? I do a little promo first.
We're going to be airing the first season, hopefully in September, end of September, October.
Okay.
And Sisterhood is a show about bold, beautiful, and women in business. So basically it's interviewing different women from different walks of life here, accomplished achievers, as well as men, because we also want to get the men's point of view about these women and what they think of these women. Mm. So we discuss topics like how difficult it is for women to get jobs after the age of 40, the inequality between men and women in the workplace, women working in male-dominated industries, things along those lines. So that's what the show is about.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. It sounds like it's the podcast.
It's
except
exactly,
we don't interview men.
Exactly.
But I love it. Like, what's been your approach with... How do you approach those conversations with the men? Because with women, it's very easy, right? You just ask them, what's been your experience? You can relate on different topics and it's easy to know what to ask. But with the men, how do you ask? And how do you deal with responses that don't really align with, you know, what you think?
To be honest with you, we ask the men the same way we ask the women.
Thing.
Of course, the same way. I mean, we're in Dubai at the end of the day, and Dubai, I mean, if there's anywhere in the world that has equality between men and women, it is Dubai. Dubai is a role model. It's a great example, not only for the GCC, but the entire world. So it's very easy to approach men and ask them about women-related issues, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in empowerment, whether it's women leaders or women in business. It's very easy. Yeah, the same way we approach the women, we approach the men.
So what's been the biggest learning from all the conversations you've had?
That women are really appreciated in this part of the world. And men they really put women up on a pedestal in this part of the world. And they appreciate them and they respect them. And women are really given the tools to be able to be empowered in a place like Dubai, whether it's from the workplace or whether it's from government offices or government funds to help the women grow and achieve their goals. I mean, where in the world do you have so many female ministers like Dubai, like the United Arab Emirates, or women as CEOs or women in leadership positions? I mean, you don't get that anywhere in the world, but we have it here in Dubai. So I think that says it all.
And even I think Dubai has the law as well where women and men should be paid the same.
Absolutely.
So gender pay gap does not exist here technically because it's legal.
That's right.
Legally there, and nowhere else has that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So what kind of like got you to that? What was the journey to creating this show with Netflix? What caused the idea?
So it all started with a very, very dear friend of mine. Her name is Kubi Springer. And I've known Kubi since she arrived to Dubai. And we met, we hit it off, we got along really well. And we wanted to launch a magazine and a memberships club together. Mm-hmm. I think it was a year and a half, 2 years ago. And we went through with the project, but we kept it on hold. And then Kubi is the founder of Sisterhood. I think she came up with the show in 2014 in the UK, and it won Best Show of the Year. Mm. So it was a slightly different show because it had no budget at that time and she was much younger. She had just gotten married. It was a different time in her life. And when she met me, she said that she wanted to revive Sisterhood because of the way I approached her, because of the way I behaved with her. I opened so many doors, so many contacts to her. I made her feel at home in a new place that she had been to for the first time, a place like Dubai. So she approached me and she said, "Lara, I'd like to start Sisterhood again, but I don't want to do it with anybody else but you." And I was like, "Yes, absolutely, let's do this together." And this is how it all started. And we're going to be launching our magazine and private memberships club, strictly for the ladies, and it's only by invitation. So it's going to be very, very exclusive. We're going to be tying up with a private members club here in mm-hmm. Dubai, where the ladies will have access to all their events, to all their amazing benefits, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So yeah, there's a lot to look forward to with Sisterhood.
Love it. I mean, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
very
a great
much.
Show. We're
Thank
all very
you.
Excited.
We'd love to have you on board of Sisterhood if your time permits.
Of course.
We'd love to interview you for sure.
Of course.
And we'd love to hear your views about women in business and women empowerment.
I have a lot of them.
I'm sure you do. I have no doubt.
But even you, right? How did you come into this world of talking about women empowerment? And you, since I've known you, I've seen all of the events that you're planning. We have the World Emirati Women's Day event coming up. Every Wednesday you have these breakfast meeting as well. And now you're launching this membership club. You have a Netflix show. So you are also very actively involved in the women empowerment sphere of life, right?
Absolutely.
What brought you there?
So it was during COVID. Mm. As you know, during COVID, we couldn't do anything. I'm the kind of person, I'm extremely active. I cannot sit at home and do nothing. So I appreciate women. I admire women that are achievers, that are able to create, generate, be productive and successful on a daily basis, whether it's on a personal level or a professional level. So I decided that along with another lady called Cardella, who's no longer here in Dubai, she traveled to Australia, but we decided that we're going to gather 5 to 10 women on a daily basis in the IFC and interview them and put these interviews on YouTube to promote these women, to empower these women, to make them feel like we know it's COVID. We know that you can't do very much at a time like this because everybody's indoors and there's no activities whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But we're going to still recognize you, appreciate you, and promote you on social media, whether it's a YouTube channel or whether it's Instagram. And that's what I did. So it was an average of 5 to 10 women on a daily basis that we were interviewing in a place called Bite Me in DIFC.
Yeah.
And these women were loving it. So we had created during the time of over, I think it was 6 months, we had created a community of over 250 women.
Wow.
Which I'm still in contact till today by interviewing them in DIFC. And mm-hmm. we've been connecting. So many of them got together, actually opened up businesses together. And we created these events at Bite Me, which are the networking events every single Wednesday, mm-hmm. where these women connect, speak about their businesses, promote what they're doing, and create opportunities for themselves. And this platform has done wonders and magic for so many people. It's helped a lot of people elevate their businesses, join and merge with others. It's been great. So this is how my journey of women empowerment started.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that led to the events, which we have on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And I've been asked to host quite a few Emirati Women's Days, which is taking place usually on August 28th. And we'd love to have you as a guest with us in the upcoming one.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some amazing speakers with us. Dr. and engineer Saad Shamsi, which is very, very famous here in the region.
And who is a mutual friend.
Of course. And she was actually one of the first women that I interviewed for my women empowerment platform that I created during the months of COVID.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so she was my first, actually.
Mm.
So she's going to be one of the speakers. Then we've got Maya Al-Hawari, who's a very, very successful female entrepreneur from the region. And of course, we have Dr. Reem, who is the youngest, I think, tech entrepreneur here in the region. So we're very excited to have them. We do have another two more speakers, but I can't finalize their name until it's finalized from their end. But it's where we're looking forward to an amazing day. And I love empowering women. I love seeing women succeed. Okay, this is Oprah Winfrey's, by the way. Yeah. Oprah Winfrey's favorite quote, which is my favorite quote because it is a quote that I truly believe in. So my favorite quote, which is all about women empowerment, is behind every successful woman is a tribe of other women. And I do believe that we definitely can support each other. What we can do for each other as women, men can't do for us. You know, the way we can uplift each other, the tools we can give one another, the things we can do for one another. I mean, it's just the sky's the limit.
Honestly, I love that. And I could not agree more. Since I started this podcast, so we are recording for the fourth season right now.
Okay.
And the past three seasons, I've just made so many friends. And it always starts with, we just had a conversation and then we realize that we have so much in common and they're always ready to help you wherever they can. And even us, right? We met and we decided we'll help each other and now we're here. And the number of women who have helped me in my journey as a content creator is incredible. And I owe it to all of them, right? You know that this journey is not just you, it's everyone together with you. And even my team is only women. So even that. Amy, who she edits the podcast episodes, oh, wow. By the way.
Okay.
So even her input and everything, you know, is really appreciated because they are all part of the journey.
Absolutely. So, and united, we can achieve so much more than alone. So there's nothing more empowering than being together in a group of women and being able to support one another and give each other the tools that we need to achieve whatever targets and goals we create for ourselves or whatever visions we have.
Agreed. And which is why I love what you were talking about. And we're going to talk about this off camera as well. But I'm also launching this professionnel network, which is kind of like a membership group for women professionals who are in Dubai and targeting the younger people who are just moving, because this is how I was when I just moved. So I know the little struggles that we all face.
Mm.
And I just put this up on my Instagram saying, if you're new in Dubai or you've been here for a few years and you're struggling to make friends with other women professionals who are not necessarily people who work with you, would you be interested in like a brunch or something? And I put a waiting list and we got over 300 people signing up.
That's incredible.
And I was like, oh, so it's actually a problem.
It is. Of course it is.
Okay. It's not just me.
This is amazing.
Right. And now we're having our inaugural brunch end of the month.
Congratulations. I'd love to come and join.
Please. You are coming.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm there.
You are coming.
I'm there.
And then even through that, we started talking to the Bureau, which is a female-only co-working space.
I know Bureau. I know Annette and her daughters.
Exactly.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So they're
place.
Sponsoring the event. And that, again, it's more women helping each other.
Oh,
and
wow.
we got a videographer who's also a girl who was very happy to help. And now it's like this community of women just building this together.
It.
Everyone pitching their own little part.
And I love it.
This is amazing.
This is amazing. That's what it's all about. This is women empowerment.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's what matters, is when everyone understands that you bring something to the table and someone else brings something else. So there's no competition here.
Absolutely.
It's collaboration.
That's what women empowerment is about. It's not about competition or competing with one another. It's about supporting each other, uplifting each other, and helping whenever you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's beautiful, but it's not always beautiful, right?
We want it to be beautiful 99.9% of the time. Yes, of course. You will get your one,
right.
Of course. I mean, you know.
I mean, we talked about this as well when we met last time, which is sometimes when people don't necessarily celebrate with you.
Yeah.
Right? And
true.
It's sometimes when people are with you in the trenches, they're very happy to be like, you can do this, you've got this. But once you make it, a lot of people disappear.
That's very true.
What's been your experience with that?
I had a lot of people disappearing when I made it, and I didn't question it.
Mm.
I want everybody to be comfortable, and if they don't want to support me or be happy for me, that's fine. That's their decision.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm happy, I'm comfortable in my skin, and I'm focused. I have a goal to achieve. I have a vision to fulfill. So nothing is going to delay me in doing that, and I'm not going to waste my time worrying or being upset about anything. If they decided not to be there, that's fine. I respect that, and each to their own.
That's a good approach.
Yeah.
Because I started feeling sad and I started being like, shall I say something? Shall I do something? But I think the best thing is to just...
Of course.
Move on, right?
Definitely move on. Never take it personal. Mm. At the end of the day, I mean, if they decided to leave, that's fine. That's their decision. Yeah. They're the losers, in my opinion.
Exactly.
Because you're amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, of course. So yeah, never take it personal.
Mm.
Yeah, I never take anything personal, even, you know, negative comments on social media or whatever it is. Never take it personal. In this ear, out the other. Or if it's negative criticism from a loved one or someone that's close to you, then that's different. A different story.
Yeah.
Then you take that and you do whatever you can to
improve.
That's constructive criticism. Yes. And I love that because that's the only way we can perfect ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that's a different story completely. Yeah.
Agreed. I love that you touched onto, you know, hate comments on social media, because you're also on social media. I'm also on social media. And recently, I feel like the more eyes you get on your content, the more hate also comes in.
Mm-hmm. So true.
So how do you deal with the hate that comes in?
I ignore it. I don't deal with it. I just ignore it. If they want to put their hate comments, that's fine. That's their opinion. I'm not going to change their opinion or stop them from stating their opinion. And I just don't let it get to me personally. I read it and that's it. Move on.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you always been like this? It never bothered you?
Yes. I've been like this since I was a child.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know some people take it personally and I know it can affect them mentally and emotionally. But my advice to everybody is not to take it personally. Just read it and move on. Don't let it get to you.
Yeah. And I've noticed that it's always the hate that's louder than the support, because supportive people might not write a comment, but the haters feel the need to leave a comment.
Exactly. To state their opinion.
Make sure you know.
Exactly. Loud and clear.
Yeah. So that's why. And I try to remember that for every hate comment, there's like 100 supportive people as well.
Of course.
So there's no need to like cry over these people. And also it's just, it doesn't matter, especially when it has nothing to do with the content or anything.
Yeah.
And you're just like, but this is not what we're talking about. You clearly are just here with some bad energy.
Exactly. And we don't entertain bad energy. So if you have bad energy,
please
move the other way, please.
Please leave.
Exactly.
So what I've done now is I've switched off the notification for comments.
Okay.
So I don't see them, because otherwise it keeps popping on my screen.
Oh gosh.
So then I will look. And now I'm like, I will look when I want to, then I can filter what I want to look at and what I don't look at.
Absolutely. You're definitely doing the right thing.
Yeah. I think protecting your energy is also important.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Don't let anything affect your energy, especially if it's negativity. Never.
But it's so funny, right? Because you will think that the haters are like, I don't know, unknown users or whatever. But then when I was like, let me just see who is this person. And this person was like, your content is not original. And she went on to write like a long essay about why it's not original. And it had nothing to do with what the video was.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, oh, let me see who is this person. And I went on it and it's like an auntie with kids and everything. I was like, why are you hating on me?
Exactly.
Like, you're a real person with your full name.
Oh my gosh. Like,
why? But then I didn't even get to reply to them. But one of my person from my community replied, who I don't know, and just gave them a whole recipe on how to cook rabbits.
Oh my gosh.
And then they were like, is this original enough?
Oh my gosh, that is such a good answer. That's a good way to respond. I love that. Yes.
And I loved it. I replied, Bina, this made me laugh out loud for real.
No, seriously. That would definitely make anybody laugh out loud.
You're like, you want something original? There you go.
I think people should occupy themselves with the more important things in life. You said she's an auntie with kids.
Yeah.
She should be looking after her family.
Right.
Not bothering to write an essay to hurt somebody's feelings on social media.
And also, you have kids as well. Would you want your kids to be receiving these comments online?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree with you. No.
No.
That's not right.
It's not right.
But you know what? Haters will always be haters.
They're gonna hate.
Yeah. And you know what? Social media wouldn't exist without haters. So like I said, never let their comments get to you on a personal level.
Agreed.
Just read them and move on.
Just move on.
Yeah.
But the thing is, right, I feel like even now the social media platforms are pushing for engagement on controversial things where people hate. So now it's become, the more hate you get, the more you grow.
The more popular you are. Yeah. Now, I heard something the other day. So if you don't have haters, that means you're not famous enough.
You haven't made it.
Yeah, you haven't made it. You need to have the haters to be there. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's true, though. Yeah, even me, somebody told me this when I was complaining that someone hated. They were like, you know, this just means that you've made it. It's like, weird metric.
I know. But apparently, that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Yeah. But I also feel like, I don't know how you think about this, but women do tend to get a lot more personal hate online. They attack you. They don't attack your intellect. They don't attack what you're saying. They go personally for you.
Mm.
They go for the way you look and the way you're talking, all of these things. And you're just like, and it's usually coming from women.
Yeah. But I've seen a few cases where the comments were very negative towards a friend of mine, but it was coming from men. This is a very conservative female residing here. And it was just, it didn't make sense. Like I couldn't comprehend it. I couldn't digest it. But like I said, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting world.
It is a very interesting. Haters. Yes.
But you know, I was speaking to Sarah recently and she talked about how they did a social experiment being like, create a fake account for yourself and then go on someone's account who you disagree with and try and leave a hate comment. And you can't because something will stop you. You're like, why am I hating on this person? I can't say mean things to them online, even if they don't know who I am, even if I disagree with what they're saying.
Mm.
But it's a very big mental push to press that post button on that comment.
Absolutely. And
because something stops you. You know the feeling behind it. When someone reads this, it's going to affect them. So for someone else to be able to do this regularly, to post these hate comments on random strangers who are not doing anything bad, they must imagine the conversation they're having with themselves.
Absolutely. They must come from a very dark place.
Yeah.
And that's why I choose to ignore the negative comments because I don't want to deal with anybody who comes from a dark place.
Agreed.
Yeah. And we can't stop them. I mean, haters will always be haters. So
as Taylor Swift said, right? Haters gonna hate.
Exactly.
But moving to a more positive note. So you have successfully built such a nice network and community of people around you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everybody I've mentioned you to, everyone knows you, first of all.
Thank you.
Secondly, everyone has the same thing to say about you, which is she is so nice.
Oh, wow.
Right. I don't think people say this about me.
I'm sure they say the same about you, maybe even more.
I don't think they'll go with she's nice. They might say she's entertaining.
No, she's nice. She's entertaining. She's loving. She's warm. She's kind.
Gosh.
And she's that way from the minute you meet her until forever.
This is why everybody loves Lara.
No, honestly, because you really are. You're beautiful. And
Thank you.
Asked a few people about you and they had beautiful things to say.
Aw, yeah. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, but tell us, how did you go about building this network for you? How should people go around creating a network around them?
Well, to create a network, you've got to start by networking. Mm. So you've got to start attending events, meeting as many people as you can. But of course, don't waste your time on the unnecessary events. Meaning unnecessary means don't go to events where you know you're going to network with people that you might not have any common denominator with. So attend events where you can definitely benefit from networking with like-minded people. And then you bring those people into your community. And that's how your community starts to grow because one person will refer another one. So for example, creating connections at Bite Me, the one we have on Wednesday, we started off with 5 people. Today we have a community of over 250 people. So it starts off with a small number of people and then they start telling people, oh my gosh, you should come down to Bite Me and DIFC every single Wednesday. You'll meet this, you'll meet that, you'll get a chance to present your business. And then the community started growing. And this is how it all starts, I think. Now, I travel quite a bit, so I don't only network in Dubai. I network in
globally.
Exactly, globally. And I love networking. A lot of people tell me, Lara, you know, where do you get your energy from? Mm. How can you attend 7 to 10 events a day? For me, it's what I enjoy. It's a passion, meeting people. I love people. I'm a people's person. So I love meeting new people regularly. And when you attend so many different events, you get to meet so many different people. So, of course, your community is going to eventually end up growing. In the UK, I went quite a few times. And I would definitely have to say that I have a great community as well in the UK, as well as in the US. So I do have a good network, not only in the region, but on a global level. And it all comes from networking.
Mm. So it's just putting yourself out there.
Absolutely.
And going to places and going to events to meet people.
To meet people. But then that's not where it ends. You've got to create a relationship. You've got to create, a relationship, whether it's a friendship or whether it's a business relationship with these people. You've got to invest time and effort and maintain this relationship. And this is how it all works. This is how it happens.
Well, so would you say you're an extrovert then? Because that's a lot of energy.
It is.
Even I remember when I came to see you, you were already seeing someone. And then you saw me, and then someone was waiting already to see you. And I was like, how does she do it? My social battery would be so drained right now.
Everybody tells me that. But the thing is that I have so many meetings to conduct, for example, on a daily basis. Mm. And I don't really like to say no to anyone. So when people call me and say, Lara, we'd like to meet up with you. No is a word that really doesn't exist in my dictionary. I've never said no to anybody because I wouldn't want anybody to say no to me. So
wow.
I definitely don't decline anybody's requests, especially when they want to come meet me for meetings, for, working opportunities or whatever it is that they're looking for. So I tend to occupy the entire space. And as you saw, one person was on this table, one person was on that table.
Is everyone waiting for you on different tables?
But I've been like this all my life, even when I was working in the hospitality industry. Meetings back to back. I start early hours of the morning. I plan my days well in advance. I plan my hours well in advance. And I think that's the way that I'm able to achieve so much in such a short period of time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how do you manage your time? Obviously, you're a mum as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're an entrepreneur. You do your whole luxury with Lara, where you do content creation. You go to events. You have all of these business meetings. You're planning your show. That's a lot going on. How do you manage your time?
So I wake up at 5 in the morning every single day. I do my meditations and my prayers. I know a lot of people look at me, they're like, 5 o'clock, that's when I go to sleep. And I'm like, no, but I sleep pretty early. So I sleep around 10:30, 11.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Wake up at 5, start my day with my meditations. And then I'm out the door by, let's say, 8 o'clock. And that's how I start my day. So I plan my meetings well in advance. Like I said, like I'll know my meetings for the entire week. On Monday,
gotcha.
Everything is pre-planned. Mm-hmm. Everything is planned by the hour. So they're back to back usually. And I finish my days around 6:37, which is when the event starts. That's the way I plan my time. And of course, time with the family on the weekends. Dinner is always with the family.
Mm-hmm.
I never have dinner unless it's with the family.
Okay.
You'll rarely see me having dinner outside. I get invited to a lot of dinners.
Yeah.
I will make an appearance. I will be there present to show support, but I will never eat outside the house or outside wherever the family is going for dinner.
Wow.
Yeah, I enjoy eating with my family.
That's
I enjoy
special.
Spending quality. Yeah, because for me, that's the quality time that I spend with them. And that's very, very precious to me. It's very special for me. Yeah.
And you have two boys, right?
I do have two boys.
So how did you, when they were growing up, how did you make sure that they were raised in a way where they will fit what you expect of them, especially when it comes to their relationship with women?
Absolutely. So, I have taught them to respect women and appreciate women since a very, very young age. And I didn't have to teach them much. It came, I think, naturally to them. I'm a very hands-on mom. So I used to drop and pick up from school. We used to do homework together every day, study together every day. So I think they saw the amount of love and effort and time that I was investing in them.
Mm.
And then, on my birthdays, the way they treat me is like a queen, like a princess. The gifts that they bring me, the phone calls, the cards, the messages, the way they respect their female cousins, the way they respect their girlfriends. They definitely respect
women. You've
done a
good job.
I think so. I hope so. Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice. And you've also been in Dubai the majority of your life, right?
Absolutely. And born and raised in Dubai. Dubai is home.
So originally from Lebanon?
Originally from Lebanon.
Okay.
My dad came here over 50 plus years ago.
Wow.
When Dubai was not what it is today. So we've seen it transform from the beautiful desert that it used to be into the leading city of the world, I would call it today.
Mm.
I remember when I used to go to university in Switzerland and they would be like, where do you live? And yeah. I'd be Dubai. They're like, do you ride camels there? And I'm like, absolutely not. We have cars just like you guys have. Actually, we have nicer cars than you. So yeah, no, Dubai is definitely home. I did live in the UK for 4 years. I did live in the US for 2. I lived in Switzerland for 3, but Dubai has always been a base. Mm. So me, my entire family, my parents, my brothers and sisters, we all live here. We reside here. I see my future here. I see my kids' future here. It is home. Mm. It's definitely home.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, it's funny you made that comment because when I've been in the UK for a while as well. I was there for 9 years. And then I went back recently and somebody asked me if I had to request for my passport from my employer before flying back. And I was like, well, you genuinely think this is still how things are? The Middle East is perceived in such a negative way in the West. And it's crazy that from your time to now, it's still the same. Yeah. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Even the Dubai is amazing now. And everyone comes here for holiday. And then they're like, oh, it's actually all right.
It's not all right. It's beautiful. It's paradise. I always refer to Dubai as paradise on earth. Oof. For me, when people say, Lara, don't you need a vacation? Like, don't you want to get away from Dubai? And I'm like, Dubai, I mean, I don't want to say Dubai is a vacation for me because I work here. But I enjoy working in Dubai. Mm. For me, everything about Dubai is beautiful. I mean, we have over 220 nationalities residing in peace and harmony. Where do you get that anywhere in the world? Mm. You could leave your wallet in a taxi and you'll have it delivered to you anywhere you are in the Emirate within less than an hour.
Yeah.
You can sleep with your doors open at night. You can sleep with your car open.
You can leave your car open in the car park.
You can. Yeah. I mean, and not only that, I mean, look at the world economy. I can't say it's doing very well in the US or in Europe, but it's booming over here in Dubai. The whole world is coming to invest in Dubai. Mm. Not only Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and the rest of the Emirates. Yeah. So the United Arab Emirates is definitely booming. Mm-hmm. It's the place to be. And I think a lot of people are realizing that and recognizing that. I know over 40 couples that have recently moved from the UK to live here in Dubai with their wives and kids because they see Dubai as the number one city in the world. Mm-hmm. And it is the number one city in the world. It is.
You're so good for the promo of Dubai.
I think so. Listen, it comes naturally. I don't have to put in effort.
You mean it.
It comes from the heart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, like especially for people like your dad, because Dubai has moved so quickly.
Yes.
They have seen the growth. Even me, I've been here for 2 years and I've seen at least 3 new buildings around where I live.
Of course.
I don't even know where they came out from and suddenly it's there.
I know.
So it must be really amazing for them. Do you think they expected it to go this way?
To be honest, I don't know if they expected it because my dad used to live in a tent in the desert.
No way. There
were no buildings at that time. This is 55 years ago, more than 55 years ago. Yeah, and they had a limited supply of food. They had a dog in the compound. That dog would lick their food.
Proper but
they
old had Dubai.
Real. Yeah, they were living in tents in the desert. So, and then slowly, Dubai started developing. And today you see the most breathtaking city in the world, and thanks to the vision of His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid, he was able to create this beautiful city that we live in. And God give him long life. And I see Dubai improving on a daily basis. Like you said, you slept, you woke up, 3 new buildings came up.
Exactly.
And this growth will continue. Dubai is known to have the first of everything, the best of everything, the tallest of everything.
It's always the best of everything.
It's always number one in everything. And thanks to the vision of His Highness.
Yeah. I think my only issue with Dubai is the heat. Right now.
It is the heat. It does get hot. Yeah. And we are in August. So don't forget, this is the hottest month of the year.
It is.
But luckily, we are well equipped. So we have the most, I think, the strongest air conditionings in the world because you never really feel the heat too much.
When you're inside, you don't feel it.
No. And even in the taxis, they're very well equipped, the AC systems.
Even the bus stops are air-conditioned.
The bus stops, exactly. Even the buses, the metro. So you don't really feel the heat. I was in the UK a month and a half ago and we were going through a heat wave. I couldn't breathe. My heart nearly stopped.
And when you're inside your house, you're like, I'm dying.
Yeah, because they don't have air conditionings in the house. So I had to go to Selfridges and just keep myself in Selfridges until the sun would go down so I could go back home because it was too hot.
Yeah.
Or I was going to check into a hotel. I actually checked into one of the hotels next door for 2 days because that's how hot it was. There was no air conditioning except in the hotels and the shopping malls. So no, we're lucky. We're lucky in Dubai.
No, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, when I moved in August.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, I don't think this was a good decision. I was going house hunting in that heat.
Oh no.
And I was like, okay, this does not look promising.
Yeah.
But then winter came and it's a whole complete different experience in Dubai. And I loved it since then.
Oh yeah. We never leave for Christmas and New Year, by the
way. Why would you?
Nobody would leave Dubai for Christmas and New Year because you have the best weather in the world. Actually, the worst traffic jams are during Christmas and New Year because the whole universe is here.
Everyone is here.
Yeah.
Everyone is. I mean, to be fair, even my family have now started coming to Dubai in Christmas time because it's the best time to be here. And absolutely. So we add to the traffic.
Yeah, I know. Oh gosh. Even the celebrities, all the celebrities, the top celebrities, football players, they have so many properties here. Mm. Bollywood, Hollywood, Arab cinema celebrities, they're all purchasing their beautiful residences here. Yeah. And I don't blame them. Yeah.
So I think the only thing is it's getting more and more crowded. So we're going to have to see how to deal with that, especially with traffic.
I know. That's the only thing I would have to say. The traffic bothers me. And I live in a very, very busy area, which is very close to DIFC.
Same. So my exit is always crowded.
Yeah.
Always crowded. Wow. Amazing. I mean, we all love Dubai. And you mentioned that a lot of celebrities come here a lot. And we all know that it's also home to a lot of the Bollywood stars, right?
Absolutely.
And I know you've met a lot of them. Any fun stories to share with us?
Yes, I have quite a few. So I would definitely have to say Amitabh Bachchan.
Of course.
Meeting him during the Dubai International Festival was a very unique experience. You don't come across men like this every day.
Yeah.
He's very charming. He's very majestic. He's very... He's very royal.
He has a presence,
He has a huge presence.
That's what everyone says.
He enters a room and everybody stops and everybody just, you can't help but just listen to him. Mm. And his stories are very, very interesting. Yeah, no, he was lovely. And there was also Shah Rukh Khan.
Oh, you've met him.
I have.
How was that?
He was amazing. He was the brand ambassador for Tag Heuer. Mm-hmm. So we were doing the launch for that. I think it was at the Al Badia golf course. And it was really interesting meeting him. He's such a character. Presence, aura, charisma, charm, everything in one person. He's amazing. He's lovely.
So he's actually like that in person.
He is.
Okay.
Very much. Not only on the screen, but as well as
in
person.
We all want to hear that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then there was Yash Chopra when he was still alive. God rest his soul. And then there was Anupam Kher. There was Akbar Khan, Fairuz Khan, who also passed away. Mm-hmm. God rest his soul. Rekha, who's a very famous Bollywood celebrity.
She's an icon. She was recently on Vogue.
She's Middle beautiful. East. She's beautiful and very, very talented.
Yeah.
And then you have Aishwarya Rai.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. And quite a few.
You've met a lot of them.
I have.
Wow.
I have. I have to say, Arab cinema, Bollywood and Hollywood are very, very different.
Yes.
But for me, because I'm born and raised in Dubai, we used to have something called Channel 33 on Dubai TV.
Okay.
Channel 33, every Thursday evening, they would play all the Bollywood movies. So I was introduced to Bollywood from a very, very young
age.
So I love Bollywood, the colorful outfits, the beautiful romances, the music,
the drama.
The dancing, the drama. I mean, nothing compares to that for me. So, yeah. Bollywood was amazing
for me. That explains it, because I'm always baffled by how the theaters for Bollywood movies are filled with everybody here.
Oh, yeah.
And they play so many sessions, because in the UK, it's like you'll get one cinema in the city that will play a Bollywood movie maybe once a week.
Oh, gosh.
But here it's like everywhere. And now I get it. I guess they've all grown up watching it.
Of course. And I go to Bollywood movies with my friends. I watch Bollywood on Netflix. I love it. I love it.
It's a different world.
It is a different world. It's a beautiful world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I have one last question for you.
Sure.
So based on your extremely successful career and everything that you have planned going forward as well now, what is success to you?
What is success to me? Success to me is being the best version of myself on a personal level. And on a professional level, being able to achieve all my dreams and all my goals and having achieved everything that I've put out there for myself, having achieved the vision that I have for myself. And of course, getting the right balance between life at home with the family and my career. For me, that is the ultimate success.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
Do you have any final things you want to share? Anything you want to ask me?
How did you come up with the idea to create this amazing podcast in this beautiful, gorgeous venue that we're in?
Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
So same thing for me, started during COVID. So during COVID, I was still at uni, and then I moved in with a friend of mine who at that time was a YouTuber. Mm-hmm. And he had all the equipment, and I had been thinking about a podcast for a very long time. And that it's mostly because I have a lot of female friends who are very good at what they do. Mm-hmm. At that time, one of my friends was training to become an astronaut.
Oh, wow.
And someone was just quit university to become a full-time rower. And someone was a painter. So everyone is very different and unconventional. Mm-hmm. And I realized that not everybody has access to women like this in their life. And I was very lucky to be in this place where I can interact with these different women. And we were having all of these lovely conversations where I learned so much from them every time. So I thought I wanted to share these conversations with the world. So the first season was entirely me talking to my friends about their life and learning about them in like a professional setting. Because, you know, sometimes my best friend, I still don't know what she does for work, you know, because you don't ask when you are so close to someone.
Absolutely.
So this was an opportunity to learn more about their aspirations, their career and things like that. And I absolutely loved it. And the reception was amazing. So then after that, I said, okay, season two, let me reach out to people I don't know. And then I did that. And since then, it just escalated. And after season two, I moved to Dubai. Mm. So then season three, I recorded here. Again, it did really well. And now season four, you're here.
I'm honored to be here. Oh my God. I love the story behind it. Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's such a beautiful podcast and you're such a great host. I have to say.
Thank you so much. It means a lot coming from you.
No, seriously. Yeah, for sure. You're amazing.
Thank
and you just make me feel so comfortable.
Thank you.
Which is very, very important.
In
these interviews.
It is.
For sure. No, I have one last message, I think, for not only for the females, but all the
everyone
out there. I would definitely say, whatever it is you do in life, have a passion, have a dream, do whatever it takes to make it come true. Work hard, be persistent, resilient, be determined, motivated, and do whatever it takes to make your dreams, your visions come true. Never give up. And wishing you all the very best.
This is a beautiful note to end this on. Thank you so much, Lara, for being here.
Thank you for having me, Sheen, and wishing you continued growth and success in all your future ventures.
Thank you. And I can't wait to watch Sisterhood on Netflix.
I can't wait to have you on Sisterhood on Netflix.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, my love.